So it is my honor to introduce Dr. Christine LaRonga. She is a surgical oncologist specializing in breast cancer as a senior member in the Department of Breast Oncology, Moffitt Cancer Center, and a professor in the Department of Surgery, University of South Florida. She earned her medical degree from the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, UNDNJ, Newark, and then did her general surgery residency at UMDNJ Robert Wood Johnson, now Rutgers University. From there, she completed her three-year surgical oncology fellowship at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. Dr. LaRonga was the state chair for the American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer for 6 years and is currently a governor to the American College of Surgeons. She is ascending the rank in leadership in the Florida chapter of the American College of Surgeons and is currently serving as the president. She is also a past president of the Association of Women Surgeons. She continues to be a grant reviewer for the American Cancer Society and a panel member for many years on the NCCN Breast Risk Reduction Guidelines. She recently became a panel member for the NCCN Hereditary Breast Cancer Syndromes Guideline, is on the advisory board for FORCE, Facing Our Risk of Cancer Empowered. Her research includes nipple-sparing mastectomies, lymphedema, genetics, genomics, quality of life, and quality improvement metrics. Thank you, Dr. LaRonga.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Dr. Reyna and the college for the privilege of the podium. My disclosures. As we heard so eloquently from Dr. Shakpour, the reasons for the rising trend in contralateral prophylactic mastectomy are multifactorial. These include, but are not limited to, preoperative MRI staging, reconstructive symmetry, fear of that future cancer, and increased genetic awareness with subsequent genetic testing. As we all know, this year we predict 266,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer, of which about 20,000 will be hereditary. That is based on a calculation from a paper in 1998 that cited 7 to 10% of all breast cancers will have a hereditary cause. At that time, only BRCA1 and 2 testing was commercially available, and they made up the majority of cases. In 2013, next-generation sequencing came on the scene that allowed us to have rapid and simultaneous assessment of multiple genes at a much lower cost. Today, more women than ever are being genetically tested, but the net result is still only about 10% of all newly diagnosed breast cancers will have a hereditary cause. BRCA1, followed by BRCA2, will still account for the majority. However, with these multi-gene panel tests, we are now learning the identity of those other 16%. We are also learning that these genes have a variable range in the prediction of future breast cancer development, with the highest predicted median lifetime risk attributed to P10 mutations. As more data is accrued about these genes, we are hopeful that we will be able to narrow the wide range of prediction for some of these genes. And so I keep a table that I can update from time to time as information is gleaned, and always look back to what the risk is for the sporadic breast cancer in the general population. I also look at what other cancers she may be at risk for. However, when meeting with a person newly diagnosed with breast cancer and discussing surgical options, there is a point in the conversation where she will always ask, "What's the risk for my other breast, and what do I need to do about it?" Now, Dr. Shakpour nicely elucidated all the reasons and predictions for sporadic breast cancer in the general population. However, the data for inherited breast cancers and contralateral breast cancer is sparse and variably reported. When you look at this table, the top line says the incidence predicted for the first or primary breast cancer for the various genes. However, when we look at the contralateral breast cancer prediction, it could be reported as incidence per year or at set intervals of time, such as 5, 10, 20 years. You will also note that the vast majority of the data fills the columns for BRCA1 and 2 because those are the genes we have the most information for. In fact, some of these genes have not yet had a report to say what the incidence is of contralateral breast cancer. This makes it complex in trying to decide with the woman the benefit of a contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. So we need to look beyond just the gene mutation and take into account her actual family history. And importantly, we need to consider the age at which she is diagnosed with her breast cancer. For example, if she is under the age of 40 and has a BRCA mutation when she is diagnosed with breast cancer, she has a predicted lifetime risk of contralateral breast cancer of 60%. But if I take that same woman and diagnose her with her primary breast cancer over the age of 70, the odds are she will not live long enough, assuming a 90-year life expectancy, to develop that contralateral breast cancer. We also now have multiple studies that are telling us that women who have a hormone receptor negative breast cancer will have a higher likelihood of a contralateral breast cancer. So in considering not just the tumor characteristics, but the survival from her current cancer, we weigh it against the benefit of that contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. But most of the data about breast cancer survival looks at 10-year mortality, because that is the highest time period for the majority of breast cancer-related deaths. So one could postulate that the benefit of the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy may not be evident until the woman is beyond 10 years from her original cancer. In a study by Metcalf, they looked at 390 BRCA carriers with early stage breast cancer and followed over a 20-year time period. In the first 10 years, there was absolutely no difference in survival between the cohort that had a unilateral mastectomy versus those that chose to have that contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. However, once they followed them beyond 10 years, the curves started to separate in favor of the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. There are other studies, such as the study by Pierce, that looked at women who had breast-conserving therapy and compared them to unilateral mastectomy. In their cohort, there was no difference in local recurrence within the first 10 years. However, once they went beyond 10 years of follow-up, the carriers had a much higher incidence of a second primary breast cancer, either in that same breast or her contralateral breast. In fact, by 15 years of follow-up, the BRCA carriers had a 24% incidence of breast cancer in the contralateral breast or a new breast cancer in the ipsilateral breast. So how does a woman decide? Well, our next speaker is going to elucidate this process, but suffice it to say, it's a combination of balance between the prevention of that future breast cancer, the reduction in her fear of that future cancer and her anxiety, balanced by the negative impact it may have on her body image and quality of life, and we already heard about the increased complications and cost. Yes, multiple studies, as we heard from Dr. Shakpar, show that when a woman opts for a simultaneous contralateral prophylactic mastectomy, there is a higher risk of an unanticipated return to the operating room for a complication, and this subsequently can lead to increased costs. But in reality, what are women doing today that are genetic carriers that have breast cancer? According to the Hereditary Breast Cancer Clinical Study Group, led by Narod and Metcalf, they say that 50% of North American women diagnosed with a BRCA mutation and breast cancer will opt for a contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. In the MD Anderson study, they took a cohort of women that had been diagnosed with a unilateral breast cancer and referred for genetic testing in a 3-year window. During that time, the median age of testing was 49. What they found was that 22% of the women elected to have a contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. When looking at who they were, 7% of the women with a sporadic breast cancer had the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy, in comparison to the 42% that had BRCA mutations, or 30% who had a non-BRCA deleterious mutation, and 10% that had a variant of unknown significance. when looking at the primary predictors of the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy? Young age and higher education were the key determinants. When they specifically looked at the non-BRCA genetic deleterious mutation carriers, the main driver was hormone receptor negative primary breast cancer. Speaking of triple negative breast cancer, the Cleveland Clinic looked at 470 patients with triple negative breast cancer that were referred for genetic counseling. What they noticed was their mean age was higher at age 60, but only 70% of the patients they referred actually met NCCN criteria for genetic testing. 68% of them did have the testing, of which BRCA and PALB2 were the most commonly associated genes with a triple negative breast cancer. Looking at that cohort of women, 88% of them chose to have the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy as compared to the 20% of the sporadic population or variant of unknown significance. Of note in this study and the MD Anderson study, the most important thing was that all patients were referred for genetic counseling. That's important because with next-generation sequencing and multi-gene panel tests, 20 to 30% of the patients will be diagnosed with a variant of unknown significance, compared to only 8 to 10% that will have a true deleterious mutation. Most variants of unknown significance will later be reclassed as benign, and therefore they should not be used in the treatment decision-making. However, that's not what's currently being practiced, as highlighted by the study from Kirian, where they looked at 666 patients with early-stage breast cancer and had genetic screening in two SEER registries. They queried those patients and found out that about 50% of them actually spoke to some kind of genetic counselor. The vast majority of the time, the test was actually ordered by their surgeon. And so they went back and they surveyed the surgeons and found that 50% of the surgeons felt that a variant of unknown significance should be treated as a true deleterious mutation and therefore recommended mastectomy. So in addition to the importance of counseling, timing of when the test is performed in reference to their breast cancer diagnosis will impact their decision-making for contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. In the Dutch Hebon study, which was the hereditary breast and ovarian Netherlands study, they collected a retrospective cohort of women with BRCA mutations since 1994. They then identified the women who developed breast cancer and looked at them in two separate time points, those tested before the year 2000 and those tested after the year 2000. For the women who were diagnosed and tested before the year 2000, the time frame from diagnosis of breast cancer to the genetic test was approximately 28 months. When they looked at after the year 2000, the test was performed on average 14 months after cancer diagnosis. How did that impact their decisions? For the women diagnosed before the year of 2000, about 50% of them opted for the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. However, after the year 2000, that number rose to 70%. So they concluded that if the time frame for when the test is ordered is closer to the actual diagnosis of breast cancer, the woman is more likely to opt for the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. So I just want to share some of our local data from Florida. We are one of many sites that participates in an inherited cancer registry called iCare. As of about 2016, there were about 2,200 women that enrolled. About half of them reside in Florida. All women, when they're enrolled, are asked to fill out a questionnaire that looks at their demographics, their genetic status, and if they had breast cancer, their treatment. When we looked at the Floridians in the cohort, about 526 had a true deleterious mutation. And fortunately for us, about 69% of them completed the entire baseline questionnaire. Similar to other studies, the vast majority of our patients had BRCA1 and 2 mutations. Similar to other studies, they were predominantly Caucasian women that were higher educated and had private insurance. When we specifically looked at the women diagnosed with breast cancer, what we noticed was what the HEBON study showed us, that the impact of the timing of the test was important in decision-making. For the women who had their test at or right before their breast cancer diagnosis, when diagnosed with breast cancer, they were more likely to opt for the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. However, if that test was done down the road after their cancer diagnosis and treatment, they were more likely to maintain the original operation they selected and hence not return to the operating room for the contralateral prophylactic mastectomy. So in summary, as we heard, still today, 7 to 10% of breast cancers newly diagnosed will have a hereditary cause. The majority of them will still be BRCA1 followed by BRCA2. And for these genes, there is variable incidence of lifetime risk of breast cancer. We do know also that about 13% of triple negative breast cancers will have a hereditary cause, and they are at higher risk for contralateral breast cancer. Although, at large, the risk of a contralateral breast cancer is largely unknown for many of these genes. We also must remember that the survival benefit of a contralateral prophylactic mastectomy may not be recognized until the woman is beyond 10 years from her original cancer diagnosis. And so the decision-making process for a contralateral mastectomy remains multifactorial as in the general population, but we need to take into account the age at which she is diagnosed with cancer, her family history, the hormone receptor status, the timing of when her test was performed, the importance of genetic counseling, and then all of the other factors which we'll hear about in a moment in terms of body image, quality of life, and fear of cancer. I thank you for your attention.